Once long ago, God judged the world by bringing a great flood upon it. God destroyed the world that then existed, and He destroyed everything that was on it. The Bible tells us that only a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by the water. God will again one day judge the world, but this time, a second time, He will destroy the world by fire. Before the flood, God waited. Before that first judgment, God waited 120 years after telling Noah that He would bring about that judgment. And God has waited now more than 2,000, or almost 2,000 years, since the New Testament writers told us very plainly that Christ would come a second time in glory to judge the world in righteousness. Why was it that God waited as He did before the flood? Why is it that God waits now for so long before the second coming of Christ to judge the world? It seems to me from our scripture this morning, the answer is plain. God is patient. God is patient. That's why He waits so long. Look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that He might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit, by whom also He went and made proclamation to the spirits now in prison, who once were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah, during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. The accent in verse 20 is on the patience of God. And as we look at the patience of God in verse 20 this morning, I'd like us to look basically at three things. First of all, the situation with which God was patient. Secondly, from our text, the nature or character of God's patience. And then third, the result of God's patience. And then fourth, we must apply what we learn from our text concerning the patience of God to our own lives and to our own world. First of all, then, we look at the situation with which God was patient. The situation with which God was patient is characterized in our text by a people who were disobedient. Verse 20 says, or speaks of a people who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting. In verse 19 last week, we looked at these people a little bit, and Peter says in verse 19 that these people Christ preached to, and he calls them spirits in prison. These spirits are disembodied human spirits, and they are spirits of men and women who were disobedient and died in the flood, the great flood and judgment. And Peter says that these spirits are now in prison. They are being held, as it were, in the dungeons of Hades, awaiting judgment. And this is so because they were disobedient to the words of God in Noah's day. As we showed last week, Christ preached by the power of the Spirit through Noah and to Noah's time. And by the power of the Spirit, Christ spoke to that age. Noah, of course, was a great preacher of righteousness. But the people of Noah's time were disobedient to the Word of God. And we see in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, what kind of disobedience this was. Peter says, chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, this precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word. The kind of disobedience Peter is talking about is disobedience to the word. Disbelief. Rejection of the word of God.
And the situation with which God was patient in the day of Noah was therefore characterized by these people who rejected the Word of God and who were disobedient to the Word of God. But now let's look a little bit more closely at the events surrounding this disobedience. In our text this morning, verse 20, it says that these people were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah. The disobedience was in the days of Noah. And this brings us back to Genesis chapter 6. And if you'd like to turn back there with me to Genesis chapter 6, we'll just look at a few verses there. Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 and 14. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make an ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch." Hear the word of God comes to Noah. God comes to Noah and says, "I am about to destroy all flesh with the earth." And God commanded Noah to build an ark in which he might escape the great judgment of the flood. Genesis 6:22. Thus Noah did according to all that God had commanded him. So he did. Noah built the ark as God had directed. Hebrews 11:7 says, "By faith, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, Noah prepared an ark for the salvation of his household." Noah believed God. Noah believed God would do exactly as he promised to do. And because Noah fully believed God, Noah built that ark. But our text, going back to 1 Peter chapter 3, our text says that other men were disobedient. Our text speaks of those who were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. We can well imagine that many asked during the construction of the ark, "Say, Noah, what are you doing?" And Noah, no doubt, would reply, "God told me to build an ark. God says there's going to be a judgment, that a great flood is coming." And Noah would preach. 2 Peter 2:5 tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And Noah, no doubt, said, "You'd better listen to God. God is righteous. God will do exactly what He promised He would do. He will bring this flood." And so by the building of the ark and by his preaching, Noah informed and warned the generation around him that the judgment of God was coming in the form of a great flood. But our text this morning tells us that the men and women of Noah's day were disobedient to the Word of God. They did not believe that a judgment was coming. They did not believe the Word of God. Noah believed the Word of God. Others rejected the Word of God. Jesus characterizes the people of those days in Matthew 24. He says, "In those days which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, and they were marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand until the flood came and took them away." They did not understand. They did not know because they rejected the Word of God. And it is with this situation, you see, of disobedience and disbelief and rejection that God in Noah's day was very patient. But now to our second point. We look at the nature and the character of the patience of Almighty God. Our text says, or speaks of those who were disobedient, when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. And we see, first of all, that the patience of God is characterized by waiting. By waiting. God, speaking of Noah's generation in Genesis 6:3, says, "His days shall be 120 years. In other words, God had a specific timetable which he was following. And on one side, God was very gracious. He gave Noah 120 years in which to construct the ark. God was very gracious. And on the other side, God was also very merciful. And he withheld judgment for 120 years after he informed Noah that it would come about. And the men and women of the world were given opportunity. They were given time by God to hear his word and to respond to his word, to believe him. During this period of 120 years, God waited. And our text says he kept waiting. I think this is an amazing thing. The word wait here literally means to wait out to the end. To wait things out to the end. And God was patient, you see. He waited. He waited to the end of the period of 120 years. God was not like we are. You know, if you're like I am, you're quite impatient. And sinful human beings that we are very impatient. And we would alter our time schedules to get things done more quickly if possible. We want things done quickly. And especially when it comes to measuring out rewards and punishments, we want things done very quickly. God is not like we are. God is patient. And God waited and kept waiting during that 120-year period, and he would not alter his schedule. He would not be impatient. He waited for the proper time to come. Such patience on the part of Almighty God, I truly believe, is a manifestation of the great love of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13:4, love is patient. If God had not loved the world of Noah's day, he would not have been so patient. If God had not loved the world of Noah's day, he would not have held back the judgment for that long period of 120 years. And more specifically, I think God's patience is a reflection of the fact that God loved the men and women of Noah's day. As we have said, the men and women of Noah's day lined themselves up against God. By their rejection of the word of God, they declared themselves to be enemies of God. And yet God displayed a certain love towards these men and women in his great patience with them. Jesus speaks of this love of God when he says to his disciples, "Love your enemies in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." You see, the patience of God is therefore a manifestation of the love of God. The patience of God causes God to wait and to withhold his judgment until the appointed time. And this, dear friends in Christ, is God's love in action as he gives sinners an opportunity to respond to the word of God, to hear the word of God, to look at the word of God. And so it was when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. But now we turn to our third point, the results of God's patience, as we see those results in our text this morning. How was God's patience viewed by Noah and his family? Noah, as one who believed God and trusted in the Word of God, had a particular view of the patience of Almighty God, of the waiting of Almighty God. To truly believe God and to truly hold to the Word of God demands that we do have a particular view of the patience of God. And if you'd look at 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that view of the patience of God is given to us very clearly. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God was slow in bringing judgment upon the earth. God was slow in bringing the flood upon the earth. God waited. God kept waiting. God was patient. And that patience itself was a call. Was a call to men and women of Noah's day to repent of their sins. To believe God. As Romans 2:4 says, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? You see, God's patience is a call to men and women to repent of their sinfulness and their violence and to believe God. And our text this morning seems to indicate that Noah held this very sacred view of the patience of Almighty God. Look at our text again, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Speaking of those who once were disobedient when the patience of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark. When God's patience kept waiting, Noah kept busy building the ark. When God's patience kept waiting, Noah, a preacher of righteousness, kept declaring the Word of God to the world around him. The judgment of God is coming. Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to turn away from evil deeds. Now is the time to believe God. Save yourselves from this perverse generation. Behold, now is the acceptable day. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Had Noah not believed this fully, Noah would not have been busy about the business of building that ark while the patience of God kept waiting in those days. And the plain result of God's patience in Noah's life was salvation. Because Noah believed God and properly viewed the patience of God, he built that ark. And it was in this ark, our text tells us, it was in this ark in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved by the water. The New American Standard Version says, in verse 20, the ark in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. The King James Version speaks of the ark in which a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The New International Version translates it similarly, speaking of Noah and his family who were saved through the water. And it seems to me that the point of the text here is the salvation of Noah and his sons' wives. Because Noah believed God, you see, and properly viewed the patience of Almighty God, Noah built that ark. And the patience of God resulted for Noah in salvation from the judgment of God. But now look at our text again. Our text very plainly speaks of the ark in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved by water. It is an awesome and incredible thing that only a few were saved from that judgment. To those who believed God's words, the patience of God resulted in salvation. To those who scoffed at the word of God, the patience of God ended in judgment. And Peter says that out of the world of that day, only a few were saved. We are reminded of the words spoken to the Lord Jesus by his disciples when they asked this question, "Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?" In Noah's day, the answer to that question was an emphatic yes. Only a few, that is eight, were saved. And our Lord Jesus himself warns, "The gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few there are who find it." You see, those who reject the word of God and scoff at the patience of God and reject the narrow way which leads to life, in Noah's day, they were many. And they found judgment. Only a few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. And you see, the results of God's patience are twofold. The results of God's patience are twofold. For those like Noah who embrace the word of God and rightly see the patience of God, that patience results in salvation. For others who reject the word of God, that patience results in wrath. But now let's apply these words more specifically to you and to me. The patience of God is applied to you and to me in the same way it is applied in the day of Noah. Today is not unlike Noah's day in many respects. You see, we are in a period right now before that critical time when Jesus Christ will come a second time in glory to judge the earth in righteousness. And Jesus says himself, the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For almost 2,000 years, the church has been proclaiming the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ a second time to judge the earth. But men and women take little notice. And too often they openly scoff such preaching. The same kind of preaching that Noah did. It's kind of like the situation we see in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. Where Peter says, "Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continued just as it was from the beginning of creation." It's like that today. And there is disobedience and disbelief and rejection of the word of God. And it is with that same situation of rejection and disobedience and disbelief that God today is being very, very patient. And God's patience with men and women today is just the same as it was in Noah's day. In Noah's day, God waited, didn't he? He waited to bring the judgment, and so it is today that he waits. God is not over-anxious to destroy the world. He is not impatient. And the time for Christ's coming is set. It is established. Only he knows it. And he will wait until that time. He will be very, very patient with all of us.
And why will the will, and why will God wait patiently to bring about this judgment? He will wait to give opportunity to men and to women to hear His word, to repent of their sins, and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God's patience is a call for men and women to believe God, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe that He, again, will judge the world in righteousness. God's patience is just the same today as it was in Noah's day. And the results of God's patience today are just the same. For those of you who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ unto salvation, the patience of God has resulted in salvation for you. Isn't it a wonder? Isn't it amazing? Isn't it marvelous that the patience of God has resulted for you in salvation? Can't you look back? I know I can. Can't you look back at a life of disobedience and rejection of the Word of God? Can't you look back at many things where you rejected God? And isn't it so that God has been very patient with you? Very, very patient with you. Yes, He has. And isn't it a wonder? Isn't it a wonder that for you who trust in Jesus Christ unto salvation, that God's patience has resulted in salvation? It should make you and me bow before Almighty God and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being so patient with me. And is it not true that God continues to be patient with the world today? Behold, now is the acceptable day. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's patience. Now is the time of God's love. Now is the time of God's waiting. Now is the time of God's patience, waiting and calling men to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. But of course, if you haven't trusted in Christ, now is the time. But for you who have truly trusted in Christ and have experienced the patience of Almighty God, now is the time to proclaim to the world at large the truth of the patience of God, how He is waiting and calling men to repentance. For you see, there is a certain judgment which is coming. There is a certain judgment which will overtake those who reject the Word of God and who play fast and loose with the patience of Almighty God.